Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
I'm Chris.
And I'm John.
And welcome to
Hashtag Right-tober! How did we do that?
I don't know. It was crazy.
That was intense.
Yeah. So, yes, this is the first podcast of October, the month of October, which is actually Hashtag Right-tober.
Yeah, it's no longer October. I don't know what you're talking about, this oct stuff,
Chris. It is our month-long content dump on the world.
That sounds awkward, but I'm going to go with it.
Sure.
Yeah, this is the month where we're just going to be like hashtagging Right-tober up everything. It's like even if we see something we like online, we'll share it.
On the Twitters.
We'll hashtag it Right-tober.
On our website.
Yeah. Lots of
different things going on.
You'll be seeing lots of selfies.
Yeah, we'll go into that a little bit later. Yeah. Kind of describe what's happening this month.
What's happening this month.
But John.
Yeah.
How's this week going?
This week is going really well, dude. There's been
nice.
Very big developments in the like entertainment front for me. Like, there's some really good stuff going on. Like, I got into the crew beta.
Yeah.
It's an exclusive elite member that is completely random.
That's cool.
Anyway, so because like you pre-ordered that game.
Yeah, it kind of frustrates me the fact that I have pre-ordered and actually spent money on their game already.
Yeah.
And I am not in the beta.
Well, I am in the beta. I haven't spent a dime. They're trying to really, really hard to convince me. It's because they
maybe it's yeah maybe it's because I've already like bought into their idea of this game.
Totally. I mean, on the other hand, I'm sitting here, you know, with my cards.
Yeah.
Cards on the table. Nobody can see those.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. So it was actually, I played through that, and then the Forza Horizon 2 demo. Mm-hmm. Played through that, and I have to say I have mixed feelings.
I'm
very conflicted.
So let's give some historical,
perspective.
Sure.
So back at E3, this is the historic thing. At E3, we watched trailer after trailer, and we watched like just really cool stuff about the crew. Heard a bunch of cool things about it. It's this racing game.
Yeah.
It's got the United States as its open world.
Yep.
It's like a truncated United States where like it'll take a few like hours to travel from one side to the other.
Yep.
But it's that big. It's massive. No loading times. That sort of thing.
It's like an RPG as well. There's RPG aspects as you can upgrade your car,
level up,
and do these different kinds of races. There's like, you know, these time trials basically, and there's take this car out, and there's go around these it's like a slalom
stuff.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about that is like some of those events, it's that may be within like it's a mini event within a larger mission.
Yeah, you're just on your way somewhere else. And you do this race that just pops up.
Yeah, or you do a like the slalom thing, a slalom challenge. Like what's crazy is from one place to another.
Let's talk about it for a second because I just got done playing the demos as well.
Okay,
and in the beta. And so like what's crazy with the crew is like as you're just driving somewhere, you like see all these things up in the sky of these events that you could just go race at any time, like just stop off on this event. Like there were so many of them
to the point where like somebody I was driving around in one neighborhood. It was in Detroit. That's where you kind of first start off. But I was driving around and all of a sudden out in the upper right corner of my screen, there's this thing that says, you know, such and such wants to race, you know, like maybe Fluffy Bunny wants to race.
Wait a minute. We were playing with the Fluffy Bunny in Destiny
that's
the other night.
Where I got the name. Oh, I pulled that out of nowhere there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he wants to race. You join the race. You hold Y, you join the race, and it's like it'll wait for other people to team up with him and stuff, and you can like drive around. But then whenever the race starts, you're racing against these four guys and some like AI, that sort of thing. So you're doing an event with a whole group of real people.
Yeah.
And it was really fun because I was coming in. You know, second, I was coming in third. You know, you basically whoever the person who initiated the event can redo it as many times as they want to, or you can opt out after a certain point. Like, there's a lot of, I mean, it's just really cool that you can basically get in and immediately be racing with cool people. So,
yeah, that's really cool. So I also like the story of the crew.
Yeah.
It has this really kind of involved story. Mm-hmm. I won't spoil anything. Yeah, surprising. And it actually has really good cutscenes, really good like direction camera work.
It's
like,
a beautiful looking game.
Yeah, it looks really good. The only downfall that both you and I share about this game is the way that the cars handle.
Yeah.
Feels very floaty. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even describe it as arcadey, like, because arcade racers can still be very responsive, very snappy. Like these things, they just don't feel they don't feel responsive enough. You know, yeah. Like, for instance, okay, in my mind, the best arcade racer of all time is Burnout Revenge.
Yeah. In my mind, it's Rush 2049, just because I put so much time into it. Yeah, San Francisco Rush 2049.
Yeah.
And that was on Dreamcast. That was a just super tight, just amazing. You would be able to slide up the walls, go through tubes. I mean, you'd be going upside down, but it never felt like you lost control of the car. Never right. felt like you always felt like you were like, you know, in control. You always felt like, hey, I could snap to the right and be able to make this turn no matter what.
Right.
That's not how I felt whenever I was playing the crew.
No, not at all. So that's a problem, man. It's a big problem.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
But then I played Forza Horizon 2, the demo.
Yes.
But like, and that was the exact opposite.
Yes.
Where it's like probably like there's not really much story.
No.
You still level things up. Like there's that element. It's this open world. It's not as big. It's not the United States.
Right.
But it feels so good.
So the thing that Microsoft did right with this is the fact that they let us play Forza 5, about a month ago?
Yeah.
For an entire weekend for free if you were an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. And really got into it, like loved the cars, loved the feel of it, the way you race, all that kind of stuff. I think the thing that lacked was just like there's a fun element. Like simulation racing holds my attention for a very small span of time.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't really interest me trying to like soup my car up and learn what kind of suspension does it work better on this race and all this kind of, I don't care.
What,
I
really how literally you should do tune not care. The engine?
Nope. Like,
no.
Don't care. All I want to do is race and have some fun. And the other thing that I don't really like about, you know, Forza 5 is, you know, these are basically street races. Your cars are built for that, so like your tires can't handle it if you go off road and like you just lose control, and that's not me. Okay, I'm a very sloppy racer. I am not a precise, exact individual whenever it comes to driving in general, in real life as well. This is true.
Anyone who has ridden with you knows this to be true.
They can attest that they would probably be able to testify in court. Like there was a legal standing that they would hold, man. That they could prove this about me.
Well, now it's on the podcast, so if you ever end up in court,
yeah, I mean, I can't be like, well, I know how to drive perfectly, sir.
Yeah, I was about to say the prosecutor is going to be playing this podcast back.
Exactly.
Remember on episode number 74.
Exactly. I mean, what do you call it? I have
you've incriminated yourself.
Yeah, there's another word for it as well. I've incriminated and
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm not a lawyer, Chris. I am not a lawyer.
No, I'm not typing on my computer and it can just like pull up the thesaurus like I normally do.
You could ask Siri, but that would be weird.
Yeah, that reminds me of an episode of Friends I was watching the other day.
Yeah,
where Joey he is writing a recommendation letter so that Chandler and Monica can adopt, and he
is trying to
use fancy words, so he uses the thesaurus to look up replace every word that he writes down. And they're like, "What was this supposed to say?" And he says, "You know, well, it's supposed to say that you'd be perfect for parents because you have big hearts." And it's like, "Why don't you just say that? It's perfect."
So why don't you just say it's incriminating?
Yes, I don't know. That's arrow straight to the knee, John.
I know, right? Took an arrow to the knee.
Yep.
And your days of adventuring were over.
So, man, like Forza Horizon feels so good.
And let's be honest. We mentioned the graphical prowess of the crew. Mm-hmm. This game is, if not like it's equally, if not more beautiful.
Yeah, so
in a different way, completely different way.
We're under the dilemma, John.
Yeah, it is. It's a very big dilemma.
The thing is, I want both games.
Yeah, I was about to say we might just have to break down
and get both. They do feel like to be completely fair to them, they do feel like completely different games.
Oh yeah,
you know, like One is all about like, okay, these are your missions and you're like leveling up your car and doing these different things. And this other one is like, this is just pure out fun racing. Right. Like you've got cool dance music back in the background, three different radio stations to listen to. You're going around to these different music festivals. They're both open world.
You can jump into, like I jumped into a game with a friend and we were driving around together and he was in control, but it was like we were driving around in the same universe and he would say, hey, let's do this event. And I would say, yes, I want to do that event. If he had said, hey, let's do this event, and I said no, or I, you know, whatever, I wouldn't have had to do that event, and he would have come back into the same world after he was done. I mean, there's a lot, there's a lot of cool stuff about Forza Horizon too, like socially.
Does it transport you to his location or something?
No, it didn't. Literally, I was in a completely like different side of the map, and whenever I came into the same universe, and so basically, it just gave me a loading screen that said, "Hey, you're joining someone else's universe." I reappeared in the exact same spot I was in the in my own server or whatever, and we had to find each other.
What about in the race? Like, if you wanted to race together, do you have to find each other and like go to your location?
No, you know, like whenever he says, "Hey, let's do this race," I would just have to opt in or opt out, and it would like load in me into that event.
I also want to say that was one of the best intro videos to any video game I've ever seen.
The Forza Horizon 2,
super cool. Yeah,
gosh.
We were just playing a cool track by
Porter Robinson.
Yeah, that you found
on the Forza Horizon 1 demo.
So if there's that kind of music that we can discover in Forza Horizon 2,
yeah,
I want to play this game.
I know, me too.
And what's weird is like while I have I've pre-ordered the crew. I really want to buy Forza Horizon 2 now.
I'm probably going to like pre-order it and like preload it.
Like, well, when's it come out?
I don't know. It might be out by the time goes up.
I thought it was out.
Is it out right now?
Well, let's look it up.
If it's out right now, I could just go buy it digitally like and be playing it tonight or whatever.
Yeah. So, well, we both could.
Yeah. So anyway, and like that's really interesting. Like I just love the whole demo thing. The fact that like there's betas, there's demos these days to get you like either psyched or like get you into like, hey, what's this game going to be about? Because like if you'd bought the crew and gotten it and like their handling's a little loose and stuff like that, like you'd initially maybe be like, oh, well, this isn't. But since it's a beta, you can give that feedback now to the developers, and maybe they can help tighten some of that up before the game is.
Yeah.
But at the very least, it would set your expectations to understand what the game is before you get it.
Made the comment while I was driving Forza Horizon 2 that if the crew felt like this, it would be the perfect racer. Like, no one could touch them.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. Like, everyone would play it.
Yeah.
Like, literally the best game on the market.
Yeah. The thing about Forza Horizon is that they took what was great about Forza Motorsport 5. Mm-hmm. They took it and then they loosened it up to where it feels just right whenever you hit those dirt patches.
Yes.
And like, whereas in Forza Motorsport, like you said, the cars weren't built for it or whatever, but you'd hit the grass and it would just all of a sudden you'd be able to go nowhere.
You'd spin out like 15 times.
Yeah, you'd go nowhere.
Yeah, like what I was describing before where, you know, like I like to, you know, I'm kind of a sloppy driver, okay? If I hit a patch of dirt on a curve,
yeah,
I want to just be able to just power right through it.
Just drift right through it.
Yes, and that's okay.
Like, sure, maybe it waits down one side for a second, but.
I rely on the drift, okay, whenever I race, both in the real life and on the video games.
I have seen all of this happen, folks.
Yes. and so being able to do that and like – right off the bat, like without even having to make any kind of adjustments, you know, it just feels right. It feels good. I can do it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the crew, it's kind of like janky. It's kind of weird. Like trying to drift around corners is kind of weird. I don't know.
But it is a massively open world. Like even the artistic tones, like Forza Horizon is very bright. It's very colorful. Even in the rain, like I did a race in the rain earlier. Even in the rain, the road looks so good because it's like sheeny and you can see like reflections. If at the faster you go, the more defined the reflections of like the trees and things like that are off of the ground. Anyway, but it's like even in that instance, even in the most dreary weather possible, it was still a bright, colorful, beautiful game. This is Forza.
Yeah.
But whereas like the crew, it's got this very, because of the, like the storyline, because of the setting, it's got this kind of dark, kind of moody, macabre kind of cop tone, you know?
Yeah. Like when that was something I wasn't expecting was the story in the crew.
And I almost want to just like get the game just to find out what happens.
Yeah, that's
you know?
The thing. Like we were just saying that, you know, I really want both of them for different, completely different reasons. The thing is, like as it stands right now, the one that if say I went home right now and I sat down on my couch to play some video games and I wanted to play Eraser, the one I'm going to go to, Forza Horizon 2.
Me too.
So that kind of indicates to me, okay, which one I should buy.
Yeah, me too.
It's just fun, man.
It is fun. It's just really fun.
So I guess I have until November to make this decision, because I like this month, unless we decide to get it this month.
Yeah.
That could possibly happen if I just say, forget the crew. I'll just use that same money to buy Forza Horizon 2.
Yeah. Or maybe even just like be like, hey, the crew comes out November 11th. That's not so far away from December 25th that you wouldn't be able to just be like, hey, put that in my Christmas stocking.
That's true.
So,
but next week, well, we'll talk about that later, but next week Alien Isolation comes out.
Yes.
And so like, you know,
that's going to be awesome.
I'll be in that soon.
You'll be in the horror-esque mode, which is a perfect month for it. Rightober is the perfect month to get scared.
I think the problem is that in the back of my mind, I'll keep thinking I could be playing Forza Horizon 2 right now.
That means you're going to have to get it, Chris.
I know.
You're going to have to get it.
I'm going to go home and have to play that demo some more and determine. Yeah. I hope that the I get access to the crew beta so I can finish kind of like playing around in that world.
Well, because we barely touched the surface of what the beta has to offer. It has a lot to offer. So if anybody is in that, you can actually still register for it on Forza on my mind, on the crew's website. Like, you can actually register for the beta and see if you can get in. But yeah, I mean, I suspect that they'll open that up. We've got over a month before it comes out. Yeah. So I suspect maybe the next beta build, they will actually like update the game, let more people in, potentially even have a completely open beta. Yep. So
I will tell everyone listening, okay? If you have the chance, if you have an Xbox, definitely download. It's a free Forza Horizon 2 demo. Download it, play it.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Same thing, like go register for the crew beta for either platform and see what you think with that, you know?
Yeah.
Something that, like, we'll probably have another discussion like this.
Yeah.
In
a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks, something like that, probably later this month, because Drive Club for PS4 comes out next week.
Nice.
It's free for anyone. There are 10 tracks free and 11 cars free for anyone who is a PlayStation Plus subscriber.
So that was one that was supposed to come out like at launch. It was supposed to be a launch title, but they delayed it by about a year. So now we've got the Battle of the Awesome Racers
this year. This is what's wild. And I think, we might have like a preview, like which one should you buy, and then like have an actual review of all of them later in the year after we've played them all, because we have Drive Club or Forza Horizon 2 came out. I think it was this week, earlier this week. Next week is Drive Club.
Yep.
Okay. The Crew and Project Cars come out in November.
Yeah.
So we have four racing games all coming out in the span of what is that? 3 months?
3 months, yeah.
No, 2 months. It's all because it's all happening in October.
October, November. Yep.
Oh, Tuesday was September. So I don't know. 2 months though.
Yeah.
Man, that's just a lot. I mean, that seems. You don't even see that many shooters or like open world things most of the time. I mean, granted, this is a weird year in the fact of, you know, just how many games are coming out. But still, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. And it's a lot like for racing fans where it's like, I feel like the Crew, because of its uniqueness and because it is a completely different type of thing, like we said, they're not even the same, not even close. I think that it will benefit from that. It'll benefit from the RPG elements, and it'll benefit from being what it is, being a personality game, like a personality driver, as opposed to like these photorealistic kind of things. It's not even trying to do that. It's trying to tell this cool narrative, this cool story, in this massive open world.
Yeah, and I really like that idea. And like I said, man, if it handled and felt as good driving as Forza, it'd be a no-brainer.
Yeah, be unstoppable, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The other thing is, like, as we level up, you know, you might be able to add things to your car that would increase the handling, the speed. You know, that was another thing. It doesn't feel super fast.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like you're
flying. Actually think you're going as fast as you are in Forza Horizon 2.
That might be.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how it all turns out, pans out.
Yeah. And we will let you all know.
We will, one way or other. So I've also been playing a lot of Destiny with you.
Yes.
Trying to level up. I think we're going to try to do the raid this weekend.
As long as you can make it to level 26.
Man, it's going to be rough.
Here's what you have to do. Yeah. They've made an update to this game.
Yes.
Patch came out today.
Tell us about this.
So the update is they have increased the amount of rewards that you get for doing specific strike missions. Mm-hmm. So there's always like a daily story mission. Mm-hmm. They've increased the amount of gear and loot that you can get from that as well.
Yeah.
So basically, every day of the week, you will get a high-level piece of gear. Mm-hmm. If you do this one mission.
Yeah.
So that'll maybe take like maybe what, 10, 15, 20 minutes to go in, do the daily, you know, do whatever bounties and then get out.
Yeah.
So it's like you could spend, you know, very short periods of time and short bursts and do that one. They've also, there's a weekly strike mm-hmm. that you can take part in. That one has even higher level gear. Mm-hmm. And then there's a nightfall strike. There's like three or four different things that they've changed the loot systems on to where you can actually get way better gear. And then if you get a high level engram, which is maybe like a purple, mm-hmm. it will be a purple. If you get a blue, it will be a blue.
Right. Well, for instance, last night, we were like, hey, let's get some legend or some great gear.
Yeah.
So we went and did a strike that guaranteed you, supposedly,
yeah,
a
decent gear, like a gear upgrade.
Blue rare, blue is rare.
Yes,
blue so rare. It guaranteed you a rare engram. So like that can be decoded into anything, decoded into some random green, uncommon.
So like piece it went down. Like it basically you you decoded it and it went down a level.
So that frustrates me.
Oh, it frustrates you a lot because like now they've patched it to where it only goes up. Like if you don't get a blue one, it'll be something better than a blue one.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I just want to go play now and do all these strikes so I can get some blue gear so that our Stay on Target clan can do the raid this weekend.
Yeah. And that's going to be awesome. Like, we have some guys that are on there. We have a level 29. We have a level 28, a couple of level 28s, and a 27. I'm a 27.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, and then you're sitting down there trying to get up to level 26 so we can rock this raid.
I haven't had as much playing time over past, like, few weeks.
Not at all.
But now I have more, and so, like, I just need to get up there so I can compete with you guys. Like, I'm just going to get left behind if I keep doing this.
Well, I don't think you're going to be left behind, but I think that it'll always be kind of one of those things where, like, people will only be playing this game for so long.
Yeah.
And I feel like you might be playing it for longer, you know, that sort of thing. So
right.
People might get bored with it. And people have expressed that as well.
I'm already halfway bored with
it. Yeah. Yeah. You're almost halfway there. So.
This is the thing. Like, you know, just we made it through the story. I'm through the story. I feel like I'm just grinding just for levels so I can do these high level strikes.
Yeah.
Like, I just really just want to do these strikes, mm-hmm. but I have to go through this weird grind. Section,
which is kind of frustrating, but
yeah,
that's more to the game, to the flaws of the game.
Something else that I picked up, I was able to get a new card back for Hearthstone by reaching level 20 last month in
that's
the
awesome.
In the competition, the ranked play. So I'm excited about that.
What rank are you?
I just made it up to 20. Like up until 20, you can't lose stars, so you can't go down in rank.
Gotcha.
Now, like after 20, from 20 until like all through, I think level 5, you get legendary or something like that. But anyway, like you basically have to just win at one after another after another after another.
So if you lose, you go back down a rank.
Correct.
Nice.
So
gives you some like it gives you like this risk reward type situation going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John.
Yes.
It's now time for
the pick of the week.
Pick of the week. All right, John. So what's your pick of the week?
Dude, this week, and I was saying the entertainment has been good to me this week. Ooh. There's been a lot of good things, a lot of cool things that have happened. Like I said, those two games. But also, Gotham Academy.
I thought you were about to say the TV show.
No, well, Gotham, the TV show as well. Like that actually started, they've had two episodes now. Best thing about that show to me is the city and is Selina Kyle's character.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the best things about that. It's just this really, she's like this really cool, like she's a kid obviously. And just this kind of cool take on her character as a, you know, as a villain or as just this, you know, cool kid around Gotham City. It really shows you this like ground level type situation. So, we were talking the other night about Destiny where it would be nice to see what does a normal, not a non-guardian human, like a kid have to deal with in the city down, you know, down in the city.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about Selina Kyle's character. Anyway, that's not my pick this week. That was just a complete side note.
Yes.
Backtrack. Anyway, Gotham Academy, the comic. by, let me see, Brendan Fletcher and Becky Cloonan are the writers. The art is Carl Kershey. Brendan Fletcher is actually the guy who did the redesign for Batgirl, and is the writer on Batgirl, and that's getting all the buzz, the Batgirl of Burnside. There's actually this really cool ad in the Gotham Academy for the Batgirl comic. It's the one where she's taking the selfie or whatever, but it looks like they've kind of ripped off the whole Instagram kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's called like Pictogram or something, that you know. Mm-hmm. And it's got comments and stuff. It's really just a cool idea to update these characters like this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is a kind of a Hogwarts-esque Gotham Academy. It's this upper level, really elite level school. And there's like this creepy stuff going on. And like Bruce Wayne has basically given scholarships to certain kids and stuff like
that. Sounds amazing.
It's really cool. Like the first issue was amazing. Like there's something going on behind the scenes, something that happened over the summer that we don't know about. It's the whole J.J. Abrams, the box type situation where there's like this mystery going on in the main character's life. And basically we're going through and she has
It's come out this week?
It came out this week. So basically she's the main character is showing around this first year and she's her mentor of some sorts, and so they're showing them around the school and stuff, and they go off on an adventure, and it's just this really cool setup to where the characters are and something that's going on. They're talking about like the school being haunted, and there might be a ghost or something. You know, they've been seen certain students have been seen, you know, ghost eyes and stuff, these glowing eyes.
This is the perfect story for October.
It's amazing. Like, and it's just this really cool story. The art is amazing. Everybody should go pick it up. It's $3.99. Awesome.
Is it a new monthly?
It is a monthly. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
And that's exciting because the whole, you know, it coincides with Batgirl coming in with the new redesign and the new creative team. Mm-hmm. So it's just DC's doing some really cool things to update for younger readers, to update for more lightheartedness in their comics that's as opposed to kind of the dark stuff that they've been doing since the New 52. So
that's awesome.
So that's my pick this week. What's your pick, Chris?
My pick is actually a movie that just came out. I haven't seen yet, but I'm going to go see it.
Okay.
Gone Girl.
Oh, dude, we've been talking about this for a while. Like, well, this was on our fall movie preview.
It was.
Fall and winter movie preview.
I'll put
preview.
That in the link.
Yeah, so go check out StayOnTargetPodcast.com and check out that podcast. That was a really good one, too, because there was a lot of movies that I learned about that you knew about that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And
and if you want to see, like, we made this big long list of movies that are, there's a couple of them on there that are movies that maybe you shouldn't go watch, but they are like basically the list of movies that to pay attention to this fall/winter.
Yeah.
We have trailers for them on that, in that post as well, so you can watch all of them if you're interested in anything. Go see it in the theaters. But yeah, so Gone Girl comes out this week, came out this week, and
so today, the day this podcast went up.
Yep. And it's directed by David Fincher.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck is acting, Neil Patrick Harris, Rosamund Pike. Looks great. Like, it's based on a best-selling novel. The author was very involved in the shooting and even apparently changed the ending of the book
interesting.
For the movie. Yeah.
Now, was this just something that they changed because they didn't like it? Or is this something that changed because it didn't work, like the way the book ended, maybe didn't work as well for film? Maybe it was more of an internal thing and they needed to make it external for film, whatever.
So there was an Entertainment Weekly article that came out probably this past spring that I read it. And David Fincher was talking about his experience with Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. So he's done several book adaptions. It's Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, Fight Club. And he said with Girl with a Dragon Tattoo specifically, he was too married to the content.
Too married to the book. What actually happened, yeah.
Yeah, and so like I think he said that he would have changed some things is what he's referencing, and in this process, it's unique that you have the author of the book so involved in the production of the movie, and you know they both parties wanted it that way.
What's crazy is like just think of like Tolkien was standing there with Peter Jackson,
yeah, Like that's
And how different the films would be.
It would probably
maybe.
Be different, and it would. And I'm not saying it would be necessarily better, but I'm saying it would have. There would have been a level of different level of authenticity there.
Right. The only other thing that like with like J.K. Rowling has gone back and I wish she would almost stop doing this.
Yes.
But where she has like said, you know, I wish I hadn't done this in the book or something like that. And it's like, I think she's at this point has moved on from that and is kind of like moved on from the whole retrospective where she's looking back and saying, I did this wrong, this.
Yeah.
But like she does that and changes things that didn't necessarily or says she wishes she could change things that don't necessarily need to be changed.
Well,
and I'm wondering if this is a scenario like that.
No, I think this is two different things. So like we can go off on that rabbit trail for a second. That's more like, you know, whenever Steven Spielberg decides, oh, the guns in E.T., I shouldn't have had them carrying those.
They're too threatening.
So I'm gonna replace those with flashlights. Or George Lucas goes, man, I really wish that I could have had Jabba the Hutt here and Han having that conversation with him.
Or I wish it wasn't as ambiguous that Sean or that Han shot first.
Exactly. You know, like. You have 15 different director's versions from Ridley Scott of Blade Runner. You know, like that's how that kind of stuff happens is like, I think creative minds, whenever you look at, you know, you kind of grow as a person and you move on both emotionally and, you know, like sometimes you just don't have the same beliefs or, you know, you change as a person, people change over time. And so you look back at this creative thing that you spit out of your mind at some point and you say, well, that is crap. You know,
or you say, I wish this was different.
Yeah, at this point. You know, yeah. While it may have been the right decision then, you know, now you say, I would have done it differently now. That's all fine and dandy. The problem is you didn't, you know?
Right.
And so, like, where movie directors can do, okay, well, now we have the director's cut. It doesn't invalidate the first one. Everyone who loves the first version can still watch that. I just have this director's
Unless
cut.
Unless it's Star Wars and you never released the first one on Blu-ray, I'm looking at you, George Lucas.
That's true. You can just completely annihilate, you know, all traces of your original versions. Unless you want to go back and watch them
There's
on VHS.
There's a pirated version. That is actually okay, so check this out. This is interesting.
Mm.
You can technically get a high definition version of the original cut of Star Wars.
Mm.
They had to, there's a group that went around and they did this, and you can find it obviously in like non-legal ways on the internet. I haven't downloaded it, I haven't watched it, but it's supposedly out there that it's got, they went to different theaters that had original cuts of this film. And they had to like go to different countries sometimes to find the original like actual film to where they would be able to get a accurate representation of what the film actually looked like in the best possible way. Because some scenes that they have now had just been completely, you know, cut out from, you know, various edits.
Mm-hmm.
But they found those
mm-hmm.
from the, you know, other places, other countries, small theaters that had originals of these big film.
My only problem with that is still you're still not working with the masters at that point.
Right.
You know, like you had the Blu-ray, most recent Blu-ray release, they went back to the masters and duplicated that.
Yeah.
And so you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, and this is the thing. At this point, I don't know that I even care. It'd be nice to have, but it's not gonna like make or break me as a human being
or a
fan of the series.
That's
like
true.
To have that. I actually think it's probably more authentic to go back and watch it on a VHS, and
that's probably true.
And see like that.
Not even the widescreen version. It's the full screen.
Yeah. So, but so we were talking about.
Going back and changing things whenever you do.
Going back and changing things.
Yeah.
And, okay. So the author was really involved with the production of Gone Girl, and so it'll be interesting to see like how it turns out because I do believe, you know, if you know David Fincher, like I do believe that authors do know their own characters better than, you know, this director probably does.
For sure.
You know, you can have great movies that were based on books. You know, for instance, The Shining is one that, you know, I think it's a great movie. Very, very well done. Stephen King hates it. Like he thinks that Stanley Kubrick just destroyed his characters and his story. I say he made it better because look at all the rest of the Stephen King movies/TV shows. Most of them are bad. that's for a reason.
The Langoliers comes to mind.
Langoliers comes. Like forefront in my mind, like that's
so horrifying. Until you
even
saw
the Mist, dude, like, which I know you like. The Mist
was okay. Like, okay, so here's what I liked about The Mist.
Yes,
I liked the fact that you didn't like, okay, that they didn't show too much, like that it was still horrifying to the effect of like, who knows what that was, who knows what, you know, what's out there. And then at the end of it, you just saw the snapshot of, you know, this, these certain people, and you saw what they would do under pressure, and then it's over. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it, either way, you know, like you have directors who will change things that the authors would say, well, that wouldn't really happen. My characters wouldn't act like that. That is not like the correct story that should be told. And or you have directors that are just really beholden to the source material, like David Fincher said he was with Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And so it'll be interesting to see how this happens and goes over. And I'm very interested to see this movie. I love the fact that Ben Affleck said he wanted to do it and wanted to act because he wanted to basically see how David Fincher directs and learn from him.
That's interesting.
Learn from David Fincher as a director.
So you're excited for Ben Affleck's next movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His next directorial effort.
Yeah.
Because he'll be using things that he learned possibly from David Fincher working on this movie. Which
that'll be a little ways away, though, because he's working on the whole Batman versus Superman thing right now. So.
But I love that that was his mindset going in.
Right.
Because, you know, I love the fact that, you know, someone in, even in, you know, Ben Affleck's position is like, I still need to learn and I want to learn from the best. So I'm going to go work with the best. Even if I'm taking a, you know, I'm not directing. He's been directing and acting in his own movies a lot lately.
And getting awards.
Yeah, winning awards. It's not like this guy is, you know, like a low-level director. I mean, he's very accomplished and a very good director. And he still says, I want to learn from this guy. So I'm willing to just go act,
yeah,
and learn from him that way.
I wanted to bring up back whenever we did the Captain America Winter Soldier review. You were talking about I can't remember his name, the bad guy in the film. He did that film to stretch his borders and that sort of thing as well. Same guy who was on.
Oh
yeah,
Robert Redford.
That's it.
Yeah.
Robert Redford talked about, hey, he wanted to expand his horizons and do something completely different. So he wanted to do a superhero film, and that's why he's in that film. So.
Yeah, I mean, and it's cool seeing actors do that. You know, like there was a special behind the scenes piece in The Hobbit, the first one. Yeah, first one. And it's Ian McKellen, and it basically shows him on, like, he cannot. He's acting in this green room, like while the other actors are in this other room, so that he can be giant next to these hobbits, and like he's just having the toughest time in the world. Like he's like in tears that the fact that he cannot grasp what's going on, and like it's just, you just see him start to fall apart, man. And it's just because he's such a great actor, but he just can't. He's having a hard time understanding how this works.
Listen, everyone who watched that film was also having a hard time understanding how that worked.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
I love those films.
But it's cool seeing actors stretch their boundaries, being willing to do it. You know, like the fact that Ian McKellen, he had trouble doing it, but man,
his performance is a high point.
Yeah, and so it's cool seeing actors stretch themselves in these ways and still learning and still working to better themselves at their craft. I feel like, you know, a lot of times actors don't feel like that. It's cool to see, like, okay, it's not necessarily easy. It's not like they show up and like, hey, I'm just going to like, you know, be myself and then I leave, you know, like these people, this is work and they actually do try to be the best at their job. And excellence is appealing in any aspect.
Well, especially because you're going to be in the public eye, where it's like if you're not in the public eye, if you're someone who worked behind the scenes, that sort of thing, the tendency might be to kind of let something slide. But these guys realize if this movie isn't good, the next movie they do might be under an increased level of scrutiny, or they might just dismiss it. Whole audiences might just dismiss it because, oh, he wasn't good in the last movie I saw.
Right.
So like they always want to bring that game. They always want to learn. They always want to push that envelope.
Yeah.
But like you said, that's not always true with actors, and you see actors all the time and that pop up and then they go away all of a sudden. So,
yeah. So definitely, you know, like it's rated R. So go in with that mindset. I can't vouch for the content of the movie.
Yeah, go in with the David Fincher mindset.
Yeah, you know? I mean, David Fincher can sometimes have, you know, very questionable content in his movies as far as like, is this going to disturb me emotionally?
The answer is most likely yes.
Yes. So, you know, just beware of that. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go see it this weekend. Cool. And we can give an update next week on how it was.
Cool.
So, John.
Yes.
We're talking about Writetober.
Writetober. Hashtag Writetober.
Yep. This is our month-long content dump. I already said this on the public.
Yeah. So, this is, you can follow us on Twitter on Stay on Target Pod. You can follow you on Twitter.
Yes. At ChrisWright250.
And me at JohnWright777.
We'll be posting just random content there. We'll be putting things up on StayOnTargetPodcast.com that we'll also link to there. Like just things throughout the month.
This includes, but is not limited to, photos, selfies, articles, random thoughts.
Yes.
Cat memes.
Yes. All of the above.
All of the above.
So let's just talk about like the formal things that we have coming up this this month. So next week on the podcast, hopefully next week on the podcast.
Arrow.
Is that what we're going to do the next week? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not on this podcast.
Oh, but there's Arrow on Target. Yeah,
well, I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, on this podcast, Alien Isolation comes out next week.
Yep.
I'm going to play of it. What is wrong with me right now, John?
What's wrong with your mouth, Chris?
I do not know. I'm going to play as much of it as I can, and we'll give, if I feel like I can give a review next week, well, I'll give the review next week. If I feel like I have to hold off a week, I'll hold off a week. But it is coming the next 2 weeks, the review for Alien Isolation. A very anticipated release. It picks up after the events of the first Alien with Ripley's daughter. And that's all I'm gonna say.
Gonna be super scary, obviously.
Yeah, it's the perfect. I've been craving this kind of vibe for the past couple of months. Like I've been really wanting to play this game, to play something that's going to scare the daylights out of me. Really looking forward to it.
Good. Are you going to do the whole thing where you don't play it during daylight hours, but like you wait until night, turn off all the lights?
Yeah, especially now that it's getting darker earlier. Yeah,
put your hoodie on.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out, like, figure out if it's going to be available on a midnight release, if I can just go home and play it. This is the thing. Like,
it's only physical, right? You can't do it digitally.
Well, you can. You can now. You can preload it.
That's weird.
On at least Xbox One, I saw earlier today. But you don't get the extra content that comes with the GameStop version. So, like, you have missions with the original crew from the first Alien movie, and actually two different missions with them, and it comes free if you pre-order it through GameStop and buy it, you know, through them. Thing is, it's a physical copy, and I really am I'm really moving toward digital, all digital now.
Right.
So we'll see. I don't know. I'm obviously going to get the GameStop version so I can get those. Pre-loading it would be great, but if I have to wait till the next day to get the GameStop version, I'm okay with that. They'll release that at some point, they've said, but the thing is it'll probably cost $15, $20 for the whole, or maybe even $10.
And you'll have to wait for a while, at least probably a year, you think?
Probably not a year. I'd probably give it 6 months, three to 6 months to come out. They're going to have other content that comes out too as well, but it's just going to be kind of like basically challenge maps is what it is.
Gotcha.
But this is actual like content, story content, you know, that you can play what has happened in the past based on this, you know, where this game is set.
Gotcha.
In the original ship with the original alien and Ripley and all the original casts come back to do the voice acting. It looks really, really cool.
It's awesome.
So we'll be doing that.
Yes.
Yes.
A review of that.
Also, you can tell them about
Arrow on Target. Yeah. It's coming back, is returning. And we have a new podcast debuting. It's going to be Flash on Target.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can come back to the Stay on Target website, stayontargetpodcast.com. Subscribe to both of those feeds. And it'll be awesome. I'm really excited to see the crossover events and things like that they've got planned. Stephen Amell has been like sending out photos of these things of like his leg next to the Flash's leg. Really weird stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It was like what are we doing? The hokey pokey here? I don't even know. Anyway, so basically there's those crossover events. It's going to be really fun. I'm excited to get back into the Arrow universe.
Yeah, there's also some prequel comics. I think we're going to do an episode zero that we'll release next week as well. It'll be quick, but it will kind of like just talk about the prequel comics. that DC has been doing, the digital comics.
Yeah, it kind of fills in the gaps between season two and season three is the billing on that.
An interesting thing I heard about Stephen Amell is that he's a voice actor in Lego Batman 2.
And I was wondering
three.
Three, yes. We're on to three, Chris. Lego Batman 2 was so a long time ago.
Yes.
So I bet you he's going to be the Arrow in there. I bet you he's going to be Green Arrow.
That'd be super cool.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Even if he's the Arrow and like 14 other characters, that's okay.
I hope he says at some point, you have failed this city.
You have failed. Dude, he better. Better put that in
the
there.
The thing is, that's such an did he say it once in the second season?
I think so. Yeah.
I'm saying, did he? I don't think he did.
You don't think he did?
No.
At all?
I don't think he said it at all.
I thought he said it once.
Really?
Maybe.
Okay.
Mid-season? I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know.
I mean, he might have said, I have failed the city whenever he was like crying about killing people.
That might be it. That might be what I'm thinking of. Which that would be, honestly, be really cool. So.
Yeah. I mean, but like what's crazy is that's such an iconic line now. And it was just in that first season. I mean, it's... If you just haven't watched so Arrow, guys,
watch
go watch the first season.
Head to Netflix, watch it.
I'm
all
not
there.
Saying it's a perfect show. I'm just saying that I enjoy it.
Oh, dude, there is no perfect show, but that's beside.
I can argue that.
Let's not.
Okay.
That would be a whole nother podcast.
All right.
We'll have a whole nother podcast that'll be called What's Chris's Perfect Show?
Or just say, What's the Perfect Show?
What's the Perfect Show?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what do we have coming up other than that? We've got a bunch of games coming out.
Yeah.
Super Smash Brothers is out. So make sure you guys, if you guys have a 3DS, pick that up.
Yes. Speaking of that, we have some releases for both PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold, the games for Gold.
So free stuff.
Yes, free stuff.
Everybody likes free stuff.
So if you have Xbox Live Gold on the 360, you will get Battlefield Bad Company 2, which is a great game.
That's a great game.
Oh, yeah, starting now through the 15th of the month. The second half of the month, you'll get Darksiders 2 for free. So definitely check out those. If you have Xbox One, you're going to get Chariot. It's brand new. It comes out on – is it? I guess it's out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's out now. And
it's free?
Yeah, it's free. It's a brand new IDEA Xbox
That's awesome.
Platformer. And so you get that that free as an Xbox One or Xbox Live subscriber. For PlayStation Plus, you are going to get Drive Club for free, like I previously mentioned. Actually, 11 tracks and 10 cars.
10 cars. That's a brand new game, too. It's amazing to me that these companies are putting out these games. Like, we had Super Time Force on Xbox One, last month? That was a brand new game, too.
Yeah. Also, for PS4, you get Dust and Elysian Tale and Spelunky for free.
Dust and Elysian Tale is new to PlayStation. The PlayStation platform.
Yeah.
It's a really fun game. They had it on Summer of Arcade, I guess, a while back on the PlayStation.
You played a lot of that.
I played the whole game. I played it almost twice. So check this. Early on in the game, I downed the difficulty, and then I re-upped it. Okay, I went back to save and re-upped it. But since I went down at some point, I literally accidentally did it, went right back, I didn't get the achievement for, finishing it on the max difficulty. Even though I finished the entire game on the max difficulty. I was frustrated by this, so I have almost played through that entire game again, just for that one achievement. And then I realized that I didn't really want to do that, so...
Yeah,
too many other things to play.
I was playing that whenever it came out. It was rare time in my life where I had a really bad cold, and so I was I had the flu, laying on my couch playing that game, and I put a bunch of hours into it while I was sick. But then after I got better, I was just
all you could think of whenever you're playing it.
Yeah, I was just the weekend I spent, with the flu on my couch, and I was I don't want to play that game.
It's I hated Sprite. For so long.
Yeah, because you always drink it
whenever... Because I would always drink it whenever I was, throwing up and stuff. So it's it only tasted like throw up to me.
Gross. That's disgusting. Just the way you describe that is just disgusting. For the PS3, you get Batman Arkham Asylum and Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystara for free.
Wait, you get Arkham Asylum for free?
Yeah, if you have PS3.
Dude, that's jamming. That's a great game. Everybody play that.
If you have PS Vita, you get Pix the Cat and Rainbow Moon. It also has cross-buy for Vita, PS3, and Pix the Cat is brand new. Has cross-buy for PS4 as well, so you can play it on your PS4 as well.
Cool. That's all awesome.
Yeah. Also, like I said, Alien Isolation, we'll be reviewing that, getting that, buying that.
It's going to be a great Wright-tober, man.
It will.
I'm optimistic about Wright-tober.
I am too. So stay tuned to stayontargetpodcast.com. We have a lot of content coming. We'll have some movie reviews, game reviews. It's going to be a fun month.
For sure.
That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.